One day this week, someone asked me, what is the best gift I've ever been given? It's a good question. I thought back over the precious gifts I've been given over the years. The icon of St. George and the dragon that Michael gave me last year that made me cry. The notes and drawings that my daughter slides into my laptop that surprise me when I open it. The scrambled eggs my son made for me when he was three. The stable home and the education my parents gave me growing up. There are so many precious gifts. What makes a good gift? I suppose it's something that says, I see you, I know you, I value you, I love you, I trust you. The best gifts say all of these things, but they also do something more. The best gifts give us a chance to respond in some way. They open doors for us. They give us a chance to do something, to take part in something, to contribute. The best gifts give our lives purpose because they also require something of us. So I think about the gift of summer weeks during high school, when I was invited to play jazz at Flathead Lake in Montana. I think about the encouragement I was given several years ago to lead a pilgrimage, and my life was changed as 17 of us from St. George's traveled to the Holy Land together. I think about when I was invited to come and serve you as a priest. These are great gifts. They say you are seen, you are known, you are valued, and we want you to spend yourself joyfully. Today is the third Sunday in Advent. Advent is a time of preparation. It's a time for us to prepare our homes, a time for us to prepare our families, a time for us to prepare our spirits as we await the coming again of Christ. The first 2 weeks of Advent, we've taken a deep dive into the heart of things. We've been encouraged to wake up, to come out of our denial, to see things as they really are. We've been encouraged to grapple with the violence and the brokenness of the world around us, and the violence and the brokenness that lurks inside each of us as well. The offer during Advent is to take stock, to keep our eyes open to what the Holy Spirit is doing as the Spirit takes us deep into the center of the brokenness that is out there, but that's also in here. The invitation is to drill down into the darkness, to recognize how far we have wandered from grace, from God, and to turn back to Him until through God's grace we break through the darkness into His glorious light. It is heavy work, this preparation. But today, the third Sunday of Advent, is a breath of fresh air. Today, the third Sunday of Advent is known as Gaudete Sunday. Gaudete is Latin for rejoice. And this Sunday is called Gaudete or Rejoice Sunday because our Bible readings lead us to rejoice. We heard in our reading from Philippians, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Poet Jane Kenyon captures this tension between the sin that is in the world and the joy that God brings in her poem, Mosaic of the Nativity, Serbia, Winter, 1993. In this poem, Kenyon imagines that God, as he sits above the people in the mosaic at the top of the dome, she imagines God sitting up there and thinking, I made them my joy, and everything else I created to bless them. But see what they do. I know their hearts and their arguments. We are descended from Cain. Evil is nothing new, they say. Of course, Cain, Adam and Eve's son, the first murderer. Today, this Gaudete Sunday, the penitential mood of this season breaks open into joy. Even though we are not ignorant of the evil in this world, today we get a glimpse of the joy and the gladness that is promised us when Jesus comes again. Although, as Jane Kenyon intuits, it is a strange sort of joy. It is a holy joy. It is a paradoxical joy. Because how can a scripture reading that begins, "You brood of vipers," talking to us, lead us to joy? How is it that the gospel writer Luke says it is good news for John the Baptist to excoriate not just the hypocritical religious leaders, but all the peoples gathered in the crowds, as he says, "The axe is lying at the root of your tree, too." This idea that being called a brood of vipers could be good news, it tickles my sense of the absurd. As I was reading it the first time earlier this week, it made me want to laugh out loud. How can that be? And yet, there it is. And what are we to do with it? We don't get to just discount what Scripture says because we find it absurd or difficult. So let's look more closely. For humans, being seen and being called to account is unaccountably freeing. Being seen for who we are, the good and the bad, and not abandoned because of it, but rather held close. This is love. So John the Baptist, looking out at the crowd, saw what there was to see. He saw selfishness. He saw brutality. He saw corruption. He saw oppression. And he called it what it was. You brood of vipers. There is freedom to be found in calling a thing what it is, because when sin is brought out into the light, it loses its power over us. As difficult as John the Baptist's words were, there was something in those words that unleashed a yearning in the crowd. His words unleashed a yearning to be free, the greedy, the cunning, the brutal. They all came to John, yearning to be free. So John the Baptist looked at those who had much, but who were unafraid or unwilling to share, and he called to them, "If you have two coats, give one to someone who doesn't have a coat. And if you have food, share it with someone who is hungry." Then the tax collectors came to John saying, "What shall we do?" "Don't collect more than prescribed," he said. "Be fair." And then the soldiers came. "What shall we do?" "Don't extort. Be content with your wages." The greedy, the cunning, the brutal, the authors of oppression, war, and death, they all came to John yearning to be released from their fear. They all came to John yearning to be released from their darkness. And John gave them a way to move into their newly granted freedom. "Come, be baptized," he invited them. And so it was, as with all the very best gifts, that John gave them a chance to respond, to do something. John gave them a chance to be part of this gift. In the people's baptism, John's hard word, repent, you brood of vipers, that hard word became not just a word of freedom, but it became a gift that opens the door into even more life. This hard word brought freedom. This hard word touched the yearning of the crowd's hearts. This word, because of the good it produced, was the good news that they had been waiting to hear. Joy. Gaudete Sunday, the best gifts. Henry Nouwen, beloved priest and author, reflects on joy. Joy, he says, is the experience of knowing you are unconditionally loved and that nothing, not sickness, failure, emotional distress, oppression, war, even death, nothing can ever take that love away. Imagine, as poet Jane Kenyon does, God looking down from his perch at the top of the dome of a church thinking, I made them in my joy, and everything else I created to bless them. What if we believed that that were true for us? What if we believed that we were made by God in his joy? And that everything else God created to bless us. What if we believed it were true? What if we believed that, as the writer of Song of Solomon proclaims, God's banner over you is love? What if we believed that? What if we believed that, as the prophet Zephaniah tells us, the Lord will rejoice over you with gladness and will renew you in his love? What if we believed it were true? What if we believed that we are loved and that nothing, nothing, not even sickness, failure, emotional distress, oppression, war, or even death can ever take that love away? What if we believed that were true? And what if being so loved, God invited us to make a change, to come back to him, to step out into new freedom, to move into new life? What if we believed that were true? This would be the best gift ever given, wouldn't it? Well, this is the gift that God is bringing. This is the gift that God has for you. Believe it. Come and get it. This is the gift that is here for you.